Your world, your challenges, your faith. When faith within engages the world without, there's power. It's living life from the inside out.
For many Americans, November is like Thanksgiving month. We make some travel plans while other people make some menu plans. Also, we can get together around dinner tables, and at least in my case, additional folding tables with some of the people we're grateful for. We focus on giving thanks each November, but can we incorporate gratitude into our lives more regularly? We're going to talk about this today on this edition of the Family Life Inside Out podcast. I'm Martha Manikas Foster, and my guest today is Amy Julia Becker. Her writing's been published widely, including in The New York Times, USA Today, Christianity Today, and The Washington Post. And she's the author of four books. She lives in Western Connecticut with her husband and three children. Welcome, Amy Julia.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
I'm glad to have you back. In an article you wrote quite a while ago, you said that in many ways, Thanksgiving is an odd holiday. Can you say more about that?
Well, I think I was just struck by the fact that we go through all of these fall holidays, and some of them are religious in nature, at least in my part of the world. I live in Connecticut. I have friends who are celebrating like Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah. Mm-hmm. Some of them are controversial. We had a lot of conversation around here about whether or not Columbus Day should be called Columbus Day or Indigenous Peoples
right.
Day, whether it should be a day off from school or not. When it comes to my children, in all of those cases, they're not really thinking about the significance of those days, controversial or not. They're just glad for a day off from school.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get to Thanksgiving, and we put religious discussions aside, we put political controversies aside, and for at least the majority of Americans, this is an opportunity to come together and give thanks. And it's not to say there's nothing that we could come up with to say is controversial about Thanksgiving,
right,
but for the most part, it really is a unifying holiday with a shared set of we're going to come together. Maybe it's going to be family, maybe it's going to be friends, maybe it's going to be neighbors, but we're going to give thanks for what we have together and right here in front of us right now, as well as for our shared place in the world and in history. And I was just reflecting on, you know, what does it take for us to be grateful, and how grateful I am, actually, that we have a day set aside where we do this year after year.
Mm-hmm. And you say in that article, and this is something that, you know, I really hadn't thought that deeply about, you say that to be thankful, to be grateful, requires something we might not be thinking about on Thanksgiving Day when we're, you know, going around the table and perhaps at least in the traditions that I have been in, each of us names something that we're grateful for. We may not be thinking that the notion of dependence, of humility is woven into Thanksgiving, into gratitude. Why is that, do you think? And how might realizing that change the way we approach every day?
Yeah, you know, I was struck by this when I wrote that article, that in order to be thankful, we have to have some sense of humility and dependence. Because if I think I've earned everything that I have by my hard work and by my, you know, getting things right and getting things done effectively, well, then who do I have to give thanks to? And what do I have to give thanks for? Whereas if I understand myself as someone who has been the recipient, whether it's of God's grace in a just general sense or just very specific and particular aspects of my life that are given to me every day, whether it's, you know, I'm looking out the window and I'm seeing a beautiful tree with yellow leaves on it, or I'm the recipient of just, an opportunity to cuddle with my child, or, I mean, even more so when we receive forgiveness from another person when we've wounded them. Or I was thinking, actually, we had a Thanksgiving meal within the last couple of years with a family who's had lived in a housing project in our town, and they had there had been a fire, and so they had nothing. I mean, everything had been burned, and they were living with my parents. And my mom was nervous about going around the table to give thanks because she thought, well, what do you have to give thanks for when everything you own has been taken in a fire?
Sure.
But we did it anyway, and it was really interesting to get to this woman who was living with my parents at the time and hear her say, oh my gosh, I cannot express more gratitude that I am here at this table, that you all have given me a place to sleep while we figure out what to do with, you know, my apartment that was burned. And so it was a really beautiful picture of, it was actually out of that position of dependence and humility that she was able to give thanks. And that helped me to think about the same things in my own life. Where am I really, truly dependent upon God, dependent upon other people? And how can I have the humility to recognize that and give thanks for it? But I also think I've been thinking about how we can also kind of pretend to give thanks out of a position of superiority. I was thinking about the story in the Bible where Jesus says that there's a tax collector and a Pharisee, and the tax collector knows that he really needs God's grace, and he gets down on his knees and he prays for mercy. Mm-hmm. And the Pharisee comes in and says, I thank you that I'm not like these other people. And then he names, you know, all these bad people over there. So I think it's important to have a humility about our gratitude as well, because it really is needing to recognize who we are before God and the ways that we have been given, again, whether it's like beauty and wonder and children and these very happy things, or we've been given grace and forgiveness when we've done things that are wrong. So I've thought a lot about all this relationship between dependence and thanksgiving, and it's helped me to, I think, understand myself and the world better.
Well, let's keep going on this. How do you think that gratitude plays a part in the life of someone who wants to grow as a disciple of Jesus? Or it maybe if it's not part of our lives right now, how might it be a part? And kind of speaking to the woman at the table who had lost everything, you know, everything material anyway, from in her apartment fire, how does one go about showing gratitude, being thankful in the everyday when what you see in front of you doesn't look so good? You know, it doesn't look like something you would aim for anyway. You know, how do we show gratitude in those situations?
I mean, I do think we have a lot of instruction in the letters of the New Testament in how to do this. I know that for me, when my kids were really little, I did not feel gratitude, even though they were wonderful and I had so much that was provided for me in my life, but I felt grumpy a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. And I thought a lot about Paul writing from prison and saying, give thanks always. And I really was like, how do you do that? I mean, I don't understand, much less in the situation I was talking about where you've got like an actual fire that has taken away your material possessions. I guess I would say two things. One, I do think there's a practice that sometimes you don't feel thankful, and yet you can actually review, okay, is there something I can give thanks for? So there is a habitual practice of giving thanks that I think can be helpful in this. I also think there's a place for lament that is not counter to gratitude. I think complaining and grumbling is the opposite of gratitude, and that's what I did a lot when my children were little in particular. But I don't think lament is the opposite of gratitude. And so that's where we can lament what is truly wrong, whether it's in the world or in our own lives, when there is real cause for grief, whether that's the grief of sin and brokenness before God or the grief of loss of, you know, whether it's the loss of a material object or certainly of human beings through death and disease and decay. So there's a place for lament, but I think when we are in a place of grumbling, gratitude can be a good counter to that. And when we're in a place of lament, I think gratitude is something that is also, it's almost like it's a boundary on our grief, you know, where it's like there is still reason to give thanks, which does not mean that there are not reasons to feel that anguish that can come with some situations in our lives. But in all of those things, I think the practice of giving thanks is what we are instructed to do, and it really eventually, I think, that leads us to an experience of gratitude and not just the habit of saying thank you.
So that the feelings can follow the habit of giving thanks.
I think so.
And speaking to that, can you think of practical ways we could incorporate gratitude into the everyday, that maybe like strategies that can help us see and remember what's in our lives that really is something to be grateful for that we just take for granted?
Yeah, I do think there are multiple different ways to do this. And I've, at different seasons of my life, practiced this in different ways. There have been times where I've used a journal And been very careful not to say I'm going to write a lot because that intimidates me and then I end up not doing it. But to say I'm going to write down one thing that I'm grateful for at the beginning or the end of each day at different seasons in my life. I've done it in different ways. And occasionally that becomes 10 things. You know, there can be an outpouring, but the habit of just writing down the one or two things, and it can be just a really teeny moment or a big experience or encounter, I think can make a big difference. And what's interesting is anything that we commit to, I think, writing down or speaking out loud intentionally, if we do that habitually, not only will we have that one thing, but we're going to start seeing so many more things that we want to name that we're grateful for. But there are two other practices that have been helpful for me. One is that although we do not gather as a family for dinner every single night of the week, but when we do, to actually incorporate that sense of, okay, let's go around the table. Is there anything that you're grateful for today? I think that is just a practice that's been really positive for me and for our kids. And again, gives us a way to look for things that we're grateful for. And then finally, there's an old Ignatian spiritual practice called the Examine, which I have been implementing in my own life for the past couple of months. And in that, and this goes back to that practice of lament as well as the practice of gratitude, what you're supposed to do is kind of look back over your day as if it were a movie, and you're just observing it. And looking for moments of desolation and consolation is the words that they use. So moments of desolation might be where you just really feel separated from God, or moments of anger or of greed or despair, you know, those, and even if it's just a glimpse of that, like, gosh, why did I get so anxious in that moment?
Sure.
And then other moments of consolation, of that experience of God's presence, of that feeling of gratitude, of that connection with human beings, with nature. And that practice, I mean, it can take no more than 5 minutes, and yet, again, has really tuned my heart, I think, to being able to name these small and large things that I'm both sad about or angry about or frustrated about, but also that I'm really, really grateful for. So any of those habitual practices, and probably for different seasons, they might look different, and from person to person, they might look different in terms of what actually works, but any of those that, first of all, cause us to pause and reflect. I mean, that's so much of it, right? It's like putting down the phone, stepping away, even if it's for 3 minutes, to speak out loud or write down, or just like pause and go, you know, close my eyes and look through my day with God on hand and say thank you. I do think that not only is wonderful in that, you know, 2 or 3 minutes, but it can really transform the way my entire life is lived, because I'm starting to pay attention to all the moments that enable me to see, yes, like even in the midst of hard circumstances, I can give thanks.
I'm just thinking, just one offshoot of the wonderful things that you've just been saying is that at the end of a workday, when I get back together with my husband, he always asks, who did you have a satisfying conversation with today? And I mean, that's tailored to me. I happen to really like conversation, especially if it has any depth to it. So in some ways, he's giving me that opportunity. Kind of, the day is almost over. How can you look back and say, this was a really, really great treat I had, you know, something that I'm really grateful for, because he knows that's something that just warms my heart, gets my mind thinking, just sets me on a good path, you know. And maybe I've forgotten by the end of the day, by the time I see him, I may have forgotten how much I enjoyed whatever that conversation was. So yeah, I can see where it's already sort of in my life, but I hadn't recognized that. So yeah, wonderful.
Well, and that's, I do think one of the other really cool things about gratitude, and if we look at the word Thanksgiving, it brings this up pretty directly, is that when we are giving thanks, we have that experience of thankfulness, right? And it often inspires us to want to give. Like, it like gives us an energy. So there's actually this relationship between thanks and an ability to give of ourselves to other people. And then as we do that, often an opportunity to give thanks. And so I think, again, that reflective pattern, and as you're saying, we're moving quickly, we easily forget what has happened. But if something can intervene to say, hey, but wait a second, did you have a good conversation today? Is there anything to give thanks for? And to name it, it really can transform over time, I think, who we are and how we operate and how we see ourselves and other people, and it can be really beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's wonderful. That gives a lot of us a lot to think about. So thank you, Amy Julia, for writing this article 5 years ago, I believe it was, and also for having this conversation with me today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
My guest has been writer Amy Julia Becker. I'll have a link to her website and her books, including White Picket Fences, where you found this podcast at fln.org/insideout. I'm Martha Manikas Foster with Inside Out on Family Life.